shit from the
You're gonna hate me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air, good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Ooh. This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, what is up? I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is...
His pissed off voice of reason,
Jay. And that is JD Hall. Not happy today with his Browns. Blue Elite.
I want to say a lot of bad words right now.
On the other hand, my Packers pulled it out in overtime. 5 missed field goals.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, we did win, and I'm not going
to... You won.
We won.
The bottom line is your team won, my team sucked a big...
Oh, man. But one thing that we got this weekend was a big W.
Mm-hmm.
University of Kentucky.
Only saving grace for my football weekend was yesterday.
Right. The Cats, the football Cats, are now 6-0, beating LSU 42-21 in dominant fashion.
Absolutely.
And it was, wow, the offense decided to show up. And you've been talking about it. You mentioned that we haven't had a complete game. And this, I think this is the closest we've had.
This is pretty close to a
complete game. Yeah.
You look at the defensive stats and the final stats don't jump out at you about how good it really was.
Right.
Because a lot of those yards that LSU got came when they were already down 40 or 35-7 or whatever it was. So
right.
they got a lot of garbage yards. But it was just an all around dominant performance on both sides of the ball. You know, they rushed for 330 yards. They didn't throw for a whole lot. It was only 145 yards. But when you mix in 75 yards rushing from Will Levis and he accounts for 220 yards.
Right.
That's what I want for my quarterback. I don't care how he gets the yards.
Somebody tell this quarterback that he can run the ball. And he is a beast.
I don't care how he gets the yards. Just account for the yards.
Right.
It's throwing
right.
the ball, running the ball, a mix of both. It doesn't matter. 5 touchdowns,
right.
3 passing, 2 rushing. And, you know, he had that beast of a run for, 33, 34 yards?
Yeah, spin cycle.
Just running people over, spinning out of tackles. And, you know, so it was just a dominant performance, and it started right from the beginning.
Right. Let me ask you this. Is it the coffee and the mayo and the unpeeled banana? What are we missing here? This kid, and I've been not real, I wouldn't say hard on Will Levis, but – You gotta factor in that he was a backup quarterback on a garbage Penn State.
Facts.
And you were right. I'll say that. You were right. First year quarterback, this kid is for real.
I'm stating facts.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just he made the game simple.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yep.
You saw he would look down the field, but he still took those checkdowns too.
Right.
You know, they called some easy throws for him to get him into the game, to get him going. But they just made the game simple. He didn't hold on the ball too long.
Right.
If you saw a lane, but his reads, you know, his receivers were covered. If there was a lane, he took it.
Right.
He didn't hold on to it too long waiting for those receivers to uncover. He just took the run.
Yeah, had some great reads.
Right.
And there was a couple times that I'm like,
those read options, you know, a couple, one for a first down, one for a touchdown.
One we saw that he should have gave it away was he should have handed it off and he ran and got he took a good pop. But that's
right.
When I tweeted at you and was like, good. Now he's right. ready to go, and he was ready to go. It was quite early in the game, you know.
Yeah, the offensive and defensive lines were dominant last night.
Yes.
The corners played good. So it was just an all around complete game. It's hard to nitpick the game from Saturday night.
Right. It really is.
When you win that game. So,
I mean, I don't like giving up 408 yards.
Near do I.
I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot of yards. But again, a lot of those yards came when the game was already over.
Right.
You know, so they were meaning they look good on the stats for LSU and they look bad on the stats for Kentucky.
Right.
But if you watch that game, those yards mean nothing.
Dominant fashion.
Mm-hmm. You know, the long touchdown pass that Johnson threw was kind of a lucky catch. because I think it was that was back there defending that, or Adrian, one of the two, got his hand up there. Like, he was late getting there. So I think there might have been a little bit of a mix up in coverage there for whatever reason. So I think it was Adrian.
And it looked like his legs.
But he got there. He got there before the ball did, and was in perfect position. He had his arm right in between the receiver's hands. He just couldn't pull his arm down or knock that ball away as he was coming down. And still the receiver almost dropped it. He had to juggle it as he was coming down to make that catch.
It was in between his legs at one point there, a second. Right.
So great catch.
Yeah.
But that's a play that could have, you take 7 points off their score right there. So, and 41 yards off their total. So now you're down to 367, which looks a little bit better when you're talking about your total defense.
Right. I was impressed because, like you've said, and I've said, we haven't seen Kentucky play a full game. And it was pretty clean football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, on both sides, really, because...
7 total penalties.
Yeah, in this game. So, you know, that was a big switch from last week. When we played
Florida had
offside you.
Themselves.
Yeah. Right. So clean and getting to see, and I'm excited even more now because now we're getting to see the offense come alive, so to speak.
Right.
And with our defense, it's like, wow, the sky's the limit for this Kentucky football team. And I believe. So I'm excited about what's next. And I was excited about this game. Coach O, Orgeron, didn't expect Kentucky's run game to be this good against his LSU Tigers.
Well, we talked about that, and I saw the tweet that you're talking about, and there was a follow up tweet.
Yeah, there was
to that. So I think the first tweet was he was surprised about Kentucky's run game being that good.
Right.
But the follow up was that he was surprised that his defense didn't do better.
Right.
And that was the surprise. But you're talking about an offense that in SEC play, they've ran for 340 yards against Missouri. They ran for 330 against LSU last night. They ran for, what was it, three something against South Carolina.
They've been doing it.
So, and they, against Florida, they only had 137. So,
right.
So the Florida game was kind of the outlier of what they've been doing in SEC play. Yeah, so 230 against South Carolina, 340 against Missouri. So in SEC play, they've been running the hell out of the ball.
Right.
They're gonna have to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Especially next week. I don't think. Well, we'll talk about this later.
I got a clip of Coach O.
Can we understand it?
Let me just play this. And so basically, what he's saying is.
Right.
Kentucky has the best running back in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this to teams.
Leading the SEC in rushing.
So you should have expected, at least expected a half-assed run game against LSU, if not beast mode run game, which would happen. So, it's, basically saying, I'm surprised my team didn't play better than give credit to Kentucky's run game.
Yeah, they were great. They may have some issues at times pass blocking.
Yeah.
But one thing we can almost always count on from that offensive line is the ability to block for the run.
Right.
So
and on the defense too, let me point this out. 4 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Pascal was a beast again.
Pascal
like, was the whole defensive line played well. Yep.
Yeah.
I think I saw something where Oxendine's out now.
Yeah.
And looks like he's probably out for the year, so that's gonna hurt. Next man up.
Next man up. And that's a good thing about Kentucky this year is depth. It was rough Darren Kennard go down too.
Yeah, that was a little bit scary.
Everybody's like
But then he ran off the field and he was back in playing. So I think we're gonna end up coming out of the game pretty healthy, other than Oxendine. I don't know if there's any other injuries that happened during the game.
So now Kentucky is 6-0.
Mm-hmm. First time since 1950.
And like we said, beast mode. I mean, they dominated LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Now I will say LSU is down this year, but
they may be down on the field, but there is too much talent.
A lot of talent
on that LSU roster,
right?
for them to play the way that they play.
Right.
Your talent alone should make you better than what we're seeing from LSU.
Right.
So now you go, okay, is it coaching? You know, is it motivating? What is it? Because it's not the talent you're bringing in. It's not the guys you're bringing in, because their last, all four of their last recruiting classes have all been ranked, I think the lowest was 9th.
Yeah.
In their last four or five recruiting classes. So you've got multiple top three, multiple top fives. So what's the issue? I know they don't have Joe Burrow and they don't have Joe Brady. Were they really that big of a difference for LSU? Maybe, because they went, what 15-0? And Orgeron's record, I think, was something like 42-16 or something like that at LSU. He's 8-8 in his last 16 games.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's been this phenomenal head coach at LSU. He's been okay.
Right.
But he hasn't been to the level that LSU as a program would expect him to be at. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a change at the end of the year.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be surprised. His seat is definitely hot.
Yes, it's boiling.
And
yeah, so you know, he's Cajun, so he's down in a crab boil right now.
He's
the crayfish getting ready to be thrown in that boil pot.
Yeah,
with all the corn cobs and everything.
Yeah,
he's about ready to
hot spot.
Now we where kind of fuck are we going?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. So like I said,
they interviewed him last night there on the sideline or whatever. I think it was before the game.
Yeah, it was.
And my wife looked at me like, is that his voice?
Yeah, you got to have caption. You got to have caption.
I hope he's got a rupture. I hope he had a ruptured vocal cord or something is what she said. And I was like, nah, I think that's just his voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
now, like we said, Kentucky 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
And what is next is a big challenge.
Huge. Gargantuan.
Do you believe?
Biggest game of the Stoops era, for sure.
And thanks to Alabama,
mm-hmm,
and getting beat.
Yep.
Love to see that. Georgia will be number one.
Georgia is number one.
They are number one. They will be number one when we go down.
We're 11 in both polls. So I think we probably should have been 10th at least.
That's what I thought it would be.
But I'm not going to bitch about it being number 11. You would think a 6-0 SEC team would be inside the top 10, but who might have complained?
Right. I get it.
But you start to think, all right, so do Alabama and Georgia play in a regular season? No, they don't. So we don't get that that chance for Georgia to go and beat Alabama and give them two SEC losses. So here's, and I know I'm talking crazy.
Talk crazy.
I'm pulling in the J crazy.
Hell yeah.
So say we go to Georgia, okay? And say we lose that game, right? But we win out, and we're 11-1. Georgia goes to the SEC championship game, wins that. Whoever they play from the West is now going to have multiple losses, and you got another SEC team sitting there with one loss. Does Kentucky make the playoff?
Well, hell yeah.
It makes you think. There's a chance.
It does make
you.
But you know it won't happen like that.
It won't happen. But it makes you think. That's a possibility now.
That's a possibility.
Because Alabama just went and shit the bed at Texas A&M.
Right.
So it's a possibility now for that to happen.
Right.
By just handling your business. By just winning the games you're supposed to win.
Right.
And if we're going to be honest, Kentucky's probably going to be favored the rest of the year outside the Georgia game.
Right. Opened up as a 22 points. Underdog, yeah. I got a different scenario. Kentucky goes down between the hedges this coming Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And kicks the shit out of Georgia. And wins a big game. At Georgia. What are we looking like then?
I think if that were to happen, and it's not out of the realm of possibility because the game was 14-3 last year.
No, I believe. I believe.
But I'm saying the game was 14-3 last year with the same quarterback that we're probably going to see next week.
Right.
Stetson Bennett. And we've got a better offense this year, and the defense is just as good. So it's not crazy to talk that it could happen.
You just can't talk like that at work because you'll get drug tested.
Now you're 7-0, and you've got Mississippi State, Tennessee, Vandy, New Mexico, and Louisville left.
Right.
You should win all five.
You should.
Should.
What if you drop to Tennessee?
Even if you drop one, you've got the tiebreaker with Georgia, right?
Right.
So you still go to the SEC championship game. And that's what we've been saying like all year long is just, well, not we. That's what some people have been saying all year long. Darian Kennard being one of them, that they want to make that trip to Atlanta. And one loss gets you there. If you win Saturday in Athens.
Right. Where is your belief? Because you've seen it. It's out there. 22-point mm-hmm. underdog opened up at. Then you look at the ESPN. They do the model there of the percentage, and it's like 95-point something to 4-point something. Right. so there is no belief out there that Kentucky can do the impossible, but. Religiously Kentucky, at least I know I am. I know I believe because I've been saying this is the year that we beat Georgia. I think the stars and quasars and whatnot are all lined up for Kentucky. It was in the air, like we said at the beginning of this show, religiously in episode one, something is in the air
mm-hmm.
with this team. You heard, like you just mentioned, the guys talking about it. We want to go right. to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the voice of reason.
Where's my belief on us going down to Athens yes. and pulling it out?
Yes.
I think we lose.
Okay.
But I don't think we lose by 22 points.
Right.
Because I think our defense is too good.
Yeah.
And our running game is too good.
Right.
So I don't know if Kentucky has enough to pull it out. Just by looking at what has happened this year, not thinking about last year.
Right.
Because we all know how it went last year.
Yeah.
Just talking about and thinking about what's happened this year and the way that Georgia has just been on a completely different level.
They have.
Everybody else, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I think they're giving up like 5.5 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean.
Until they meet Kentucky.
Right. So it's hard for me to be super optimistic that we go down there and pull it off.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if we did because of the type of game that Kentucky plays. The ball control, running game, the solid defense, the way we play the game usually keeps games close.
Right.
On both sides, whether we're winning or losing, it usually keeps games close. And now we got that threat of a passing game. So you can't just load up 8-9 in the box on every play and expect to just have us run the ball. You got Wandale out there. Ali, hopefully he's back. They said he's getting treatment 12 hours a day so he can be ready for that game next week. So our receivers, I don't think they get the credit they deserve. I think they're better than what some people say. Isaiah Cummings is an absolute mismatch.
Yes.
And he got robbed of a touchdown.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Yeah.
But the way that Kentucky plays the game, running the ball, and defensively, I think they'll keep it respectable. I don't think you're going to get blown out like Arkansas did, 37-0. I don't see anything like that happening to Kentucky. As long as they play a clean game and not turn the ball over.
Right.
You can't turn the ball over against that defense.
I'm telling you, JD.
And give their offense a short field. Because if you make them drive it down the field, that's when they're vulnerable because they're not great at the quarterback spot.
Right.
So
I'm telling you, Kentucky is going to go down there to Georgia and kick the shit out of the dogs. I'm telling you, believe it. Big Blue Nation, believe it.
If they go to Athens and they win that game, they should be top five.
They should be. But I'm telling you, the stars and quasars and everything is lined up for Kentucky to win this game. And I'm telling you, I've been telling you, this is the year Kentucky beats Georgia.
If they do, and if Kentucky goes undefeated this year, sign Mark Stoops to a lifetime contract. Don't let him go anywhere.
You can't. Give the man what he wants.
Give him what he wants. Give him the lifetime contract. Give him the indoor practice facility. The day after they beat Georgia, start breaking ground.
Right.
Whatever he wants, give it to him.
It's going to happen.
Because we are watching the best era of Kentucky football right now.
Hell,
I know Bear was great. Yeah. We're talking about, that was 60 years ago.
Yeah.
70 years ago. Long time ago.
Long time. Long, long before us.
So I think when you're talking about Kentucky football, this has got to be the best time to be a Kentucky football fan.
Yeah. Exciting.
Right.
It's very exciting. So, and Big Blue Nation has been showing out at these home games. I mean, just showing out.
I haven't got a chance to talk to my son, so I don't know what it was like at the stadium, in the stadium last night. But you don't live too far from the stadium.
Right.
Did you hear it?
It was rocking. It was rocking.
Did you hear it?
I could hear it good. Yeah, it was rocking, okay, man. It was another unbelievable atmosphere, man. And it's unbelievable what Kentucky's doing. I believe now, you know, people are going to be like, you're going to hear this all week. Oh, yeah, hope and but Kentucky can't do it. You'll hear that. I'm not giving up that hope.
I'm not saying they can't do it. I just don't want to get my hopes up.
My hopes are
go in there and
way high.
To then go into Athens and lose and then be pissed off. Because I was expecting them to win.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be pissed off anyway. But if they go in there and they don't get embarrassed, I think that's really all you can ask for.
Right.
Anything else that happens is great.
Yeah.
You just don't want to go down to Georgia and get embarrassed.
Right.
Because all that momentum you build up through the first six games goes out the window because people are like, see, I told you they weren't for real. Look what just happened when they went down to play Georgia.
Right. Well, I mean, is that going to take away from being 6-0 if they take a loss at Georgia? I don't think so.
Not a loss. A loss is fine. An embarrassing loss is different. If you go down there and you get your ass kicked like Arkansas did, or they beat you like they beat Vandy, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
Those are embarrassing type losses, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to go down there and have that happen. You go down there and lose, losing's fine because you're playing the number one team in the country who's been a step above everybody else this year.
Yeah.
So losing's fine. Going down there and taking a loss to that Georgia team is nothing to be ashamed about if you're a Kentucky player, football player.
Right.
But going down there and getting embarrassed in that game is a different story. You don't want to go down there and get just curb stomped.
Right.
And then all those people that were talking you up in that 6-0 start would be like, man, maybe they weren't for real. Maybe
right.
It was all just, you know, smoke and mirrors and whatever, you know,
right.
Or Florida and LSU just aren't that good. And that's why Kentucky was able to beat them.
Right. That's a good damn thing. We're going to go down there and handle business and whoop that ass. Yes, sir.
Your enthusiasm, Jay.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, man. Let's get behind these Wildcats like we've been. 6-0 is a beautiful thing, man. Mm-hmm. And now going to play the number one team in Georgia, I believe, Big Blue Nation, say it quietly or you will be drug tested at work. but there's nothing wrong with rooting for your team, man. And, you know, I love how Stoops has got this program one game at a time. And that's even got me more believing, like, you know, because I thought maybe they might look at LSU maybe a smidge and, like, you know, looking ahead past, and they didn't. They came out. Now we're seeing the offense do the damn thing.
Right.
And this is where I'm at on the Georgia game. I wasn't for sure. I kind of believe more now, but I wasn't for sure that Kentucky's offense could do anything against Georgia's defense. Now, I do believe our defense can stop their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe even more that our offense can pull something off against their defense. As great as Georgia's defense is, I believe that.
The way the offense played last night against LSU, that offense can do something against that Georgia defense.
Right.
Now, are they going to put up 42 points against that Georgia defense?
No.
Probably not. But if you can go down to Athens and put up 20, 21, 24 points, something like that, then you've got yourself you've got a chance, because then it's not crazy to think that you can hold them underneath that point total. Because look what Kentucky did to Florida's offense. And Florida's offense was a lot more explosive than what Georgia offense is.
Right.
And they were able to hold them to 13 points. So it's just a matter of handling your business and doing what you know you can do,
right,
doing what you've been practicing to do, and not trying to do more than you're capable of doing.
Right.
Not trying to do somebody else's job.
Right.
You know, if you're coming in, if you're the guy that's coming in to replace Oxendine, you're not don't come in and be him.
Right.
Come in and be you, but be the best version of you.
Your job.
Do your job. Do your assignments. Don't get out of position, and I think defensively you'll be all right.
Right. Let me add this little nugget here. John Clay put this on Twitter. SEC defenses by yards per play. Georgia, 3.60. Kentucky, 4.61.
Mm-hmm. Was that before or after the LSU game?
I think it was after. He put it up after, so I'm assuming that it was afterwards.
It's updated.
Yeah. I believe, Big Blue Nation, we're going to go down to Georgia and win. 7-0 is what I'm saying.
So Georgia or LSU ran, looks like 73 plays, 73 total plays, and gained 408 yards. So right about 5 yards a play, just a little over. So not too far off that 4.61. Now you got Kentucky, on the other hand, who ran 62 plays and gained 475 yards on those plays. So quite a bit higher,
right,
than what LSU was averaging.
Facts.
I'm sure you saw the tweet that I put out there to Marty Smith.
I did.
Say, hey, Marty.
Did you ever respond to it?
No. Say, hey, Marty, come on Religiously Kentucky Podcast so I can talk to you about Kentucky beating Georgia this weekend. Maybe there's a Kentucky
accent. I did earlier this afternoon send a message to Stevie Johnson to see if he would come on tonight and talk about that game last night, you know, compare it to what it was like beating LSU back in 2007 when they were ranked number one.
Right.
But obviously, I mean, he didn't respond to my message.
Hey,
either,
you
so.
Got to shoot your shot. I done send messages to a lot of folks.
Doesn't Marty Smith have his DMs open on Twitter?
No.
I could have swore I sent him a message one time.
Well, he might have at some point, but he doesn't now because I would have shot him a message. So, you know, I was like, let me just post this, see if he'd grab a hold of it.
No.
But, yeah. So that's where we're at. Kentucky is 6-0 after beating LSU in dominant fashion, like we've been saying.
Dominant fashion.
Yes, it was a beatdown. And then this Saturday, Kentucky's going to Georgia to handle business there. Number 11 versus number 1. That's where we're at.
We got a shot. That's all you can ask for going to Athens against that team, is that you have a shot.
Right. That's why you play the game.
We have a shot.
That's why you play the game.
The way that Kentucky plays football, we know we have a shot to go down there and shock them.
Right.
I just don't want to get my hopes up to get them crushed.
No. My hopes are up, bro.
Night.
My hopes are
Saturday
up.
Saturday night, and, you know, in a puddle of tears because,
right.
You know,
I feel you.
That's what I'm trying to avoid, is getting my hopes up. But I know the closer we get to that game, the more.
These are the games you want to play.
The more my hopes are going to go up.
Right.
You know, I saw a lot of people tweet about being nervous about the LSU game. I was never really nervous about it.
No.
Because I just didn't think that LSU would be able to stop Kentucky's run game.
Right.
You know, so.
Which came true. Right. Which came true. Right.
And they couldn't really stop Kentucky's offense, period, because we averaged almost 8 yards per play.
Right.
So it was the best performance from start to finish that Kentucky's had this year.
Let me get into this soundbite of Coach Stoops post-game LSU.
Once again, I'd like to thank the fan base. It was fun. Great atmosphere. It's a nice boost for us to play in that kind of environment. Greatly appreciate the support. Really appreciate our coaches and our players. We just have had a good, quiet confidence about us from the, you know, preparation that we're doing. A lot of hard work, preparing hard. Guys are sacrificing, doing the things that are necessary. Coaches are putting out great game plans, and we've really had good, hard, disciplined practices and felt like we were getting better and better. And really feel like our guys are playing exceptionally hard, and we're executing better. Offensively, looked really crisp, I thought, early, and against a quality football team. But just overall, very proud of our whole group, the whole program, whole organization. Been a lot of fun. And same message as last week when I sat here, enjoy it for a few hours. And back to work tomorrow. So we're excited about the opportunity we have in front of us next week.
Hell yeah, we are, because we're going down to Georgia to whoop that ass. Georgia, we're coming for you. Mark Stoops, man, one game at a time, man. That's all I asked, and they've been doing it. They've been showing up, mm-hmm. showing out. Big Blue Nation has been showing up, showing out, and now this is the game you want to face the number one badass Georgia team, which they are.
Right.
Now show up and show out for this. This is the opportunity you want. Seize the moment.
This is what you've been working towards under Mark Stoops.
Right.
Right. You've been building and building and building the program to get to this point, to play these type of games.
Right.
They had their chance. They had their shot in 2018. Weren't able to take care of business going and playing them.
Right.
But I think this team is more complete than what that team was.
Right. I do too.
So I think we're a little bit better defensively and a little bit better offensively than what the 2018 team was. Now, the 2018 team had Josh Allen on it.
Yeah.
Had Lynn Bowden on it. Had Benny Snell on it. So you had some of the best players to ever play for the University of Kentucky on that team.
Yeah.
But I think all around, I think this team is better from top to bottom than what that team was.
Right.
That team may have had guys that were better at the top when you're talking about Lynn and Josh and Benny. But once you get past those guys and you're down, you know, you start, you got Jordan Wright, you got Josh Pascal, you've got J.J. Weaver, you know, Trevin Wallace has been great.
Yeah.
Bully, when he's in there, you know, it looks like Justin Rogers is coming on.
Yeah.
You've got Corker and Asian back there playing their asses off. You know, the corners are coming around, starting to play better. So everybody, I think, is playing to a different level from top to bottom than what we saw in that 2018 team.
Right. I can dig it. Before we get into some basketball news, give me a prediction for this Georgia game.
27-21 Georgia.
27-21 Georgia.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying that because I think there might be a turnover that goes for that gives Georgia a short field.
I'm going to say 24-17 Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So that's where we are.
I'm the voice of reason, so I'm not
I'm the crazy one that will likely get drug tested Monday morning. but now into some basketball news.
Let it rain!
Kentucky Pro Day today, a little while ago.
Came on at 5:30 just as I was getting home.
Right.
But my Browns were on too.
Right.
So I can go back and watch the Pro Day.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the Browns on the way home. They had that lead. They go up 27-13. I'm like, yes. Yes.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
I should have watched Pro Day.
Right, right. I recorded. I watched a little bit here and there. I was doing some things too.
I don't think because I have YouTube TV. I'm not sure if it recorded it or not. I'll have to go in and check. I thought I added Kentucky basketball to my stuff so it automatically records
anything
it's Kentucky basketball. But if it didn't label it as like Kentucky basketball, it might not have recorded it because it was a special or whatever. I don't know. So, but either way, it'll be on Watch ESPN to be able to go back and watch it that way, watch a replay that way.
Right.
Which is probably what I'll end up doing Tuesday night before we do the spaces. That way I'm caught up on that. I've got the game, the LSU game. So I've got all the Kentucky stuff that happened this weekend caught up on and watched and ready to go. So
right. From what I saw, looked pretty good. I'm excited about this season.
They look fast.
Right, right. They look fast.
Like,
Damian Collins is my guy. I'll just go ahead and tell you that.
When I flipped over there, they were just doing a drill where it was the guard pulls the rebound, and it's two passes.
Yeah.
One outlet to the wing, another one to the guy going to the basket, and a layup. Three passes for a layup.
Right.
And they looked fast. All of them looked fast. I mean, there were times where the big was catching the ball at the basket. So you're talking 94 feet from a rebound. One pass, two pass, and they were catching it at the basket.
Right.
Not even having to take two steps to get to the basket. At the basket, two feet jump for a layup.
Right, and you love seeing the bigs run the floor.
Damian Collins, I caught a little, I think I saw a tweet of him doing the vertical measure.
Yeah.
And he was hitting the top
little
thing on it. The very last one.
We're talking back top of the backboard.
Like, it was crazy. It helps that he's got, a 7'6" reach. So, and he's 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah.
So, but man, they look the few minutes that I watched, they looked really athletic, really long, really fast. Now, is that going to come together on the court? We're hoping it does.
Yeah.
And with what we've been hearing from practice and from workouts and from what's happened over the summer, all these guys are really clicking together.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, so, I definitely hope it does, because I'm saying Final Four. So yeah. I definitely hope it does.
But what little bit I watched of Pro Day gets me excited. Like I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get to see any of the shooting drills or anything like that. And they don't really, because when they do that Pro Day, they don't really focus on the drills enough.
Right.
I think.
Right.
They do a lot of talking and stuff over. So you're kind of trying to watch what's going on and pay attention to yourself. So I didn't see any of the shooting drills or anything like that. What I was seeing was the athleticism that this team has.
Right.
And how fast they are. So that makes you feel good from a standpoint where I think we were a little lacking from the athleticism standpoint last year.
Right.
I think in a regular year, it wouldn't have mattered as much, because you would have been able to work together, you know, as a team all year long and practice together as a team all year long. So you would have been able to get more comfortable with each other and work through those deficiencies that you had.
Right.
But with just the way last season was, that wasn't possible. But I think this team this year, with the experience that they have, whether it's transfers coming in or returning guys, the shooting that we have, the length that we have, the athleticism that we have, there's reason to be excited for what we're going to see this basketball season.
Yes, and it is only a month away.
And it's only going to get and that excitement's probably only going to get higher and higher as we get through Big Blue Madness.
Yeah,
and then the Blue
White is
game,
this coming Friday,
which is the 15th.
Yeah,
you got tickets to Big Blue Madness.
Yes,
I got tickets to the Blue White game. So I wasn't sure if I was going to go or not, because I got to work overtime on Wednesday and Thursday. So, but if I go to Lexington, then I've got to squeeze all my yard work and everything into Sunday.
Yeah.
But my wife is now off that Friday, so I think she's going to make us go.
When you're a Big Blue Nation guy,
mm-hmm.
you squeeze all the yard work in on Sunday anyway. Just saying.
Man, I tried to get my son to mow the yard today. Apparently, he didn't do it.
Right.
I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow morning. Dude, you work at 1 o'clock. Your ass ain't getting out of bed before 10:30.
Right.
When are you going to do it?
Right. I know how that goes. So football is great. Big matchup this weekend. Basketball mm-hmm. around the corner. Pro Day today. Big Blue Madness this week. A lot of excitement going on in the Big Blue Nation. Also, some dumb stuff on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
The dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, JD?
Well, let's just start with, this is just overall dumb shit.
Right.
Like, it's just a dumb comment to make. So, I don't know if you follow her or not, but Claire, @Claire.
Yeah.
On Twitter. She tweeted out, "It's truly unbelievable what Stoops has accomplished. The coaches we have and the talent we have, we've been knocking on the door the last few years, but now we're finally breaking through. Feels so good." Some guy literally tweeted back to her, "I think it's even more amazing that you love sports.
How you doing?
Creeper."
not just that, like, that's not the compliment you think it is there, buddy. Like, seriously. And then, you know, she put up a screenshot that he DM'd her after that, because she quoted that and put him out there for everybody to see. And he was like, "Why would you do me like that? That was just me.
Because you're a creeper.
I was trying to pay you a compliment." Well, that's not what that is, dude. Like, that's not a compliment. To a woman that loves sports, that's not a compliment where you say it's amazing that you even like sports. Why do you think that through your head, that that's going to be a good thing to say to somebody?
Creeper.
That's just dumb. Yeah.
You've sent all kinds of messages.
I sent a lot of stuff to you.
I'm like, just like, read some of these. I don't know what some are in reference to.
Well, the you're probably talking about the Clayton Hogan one.
Yeah.
I can't remember either. I shouldn't have cropped all that out. So
come
I can
on,
see
Clayton.
The tweet that it was going to. But I think it was going to Florida and Georgia, I thought. Man, I'm going to have to go back and find that tweet.
And Kentucky will lose both and both by 2 scores or more.
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong. You know, it couldn't have been. It can't be Florida and LSU because this came out, this tweet was after the Florida game. So I can't remember what it was about.
He's still wrong.
And then he and I think he's a Louisville fan is what he is. Because he tweeted out, "I've never seen a bigger joke, weaker schedule in SEC, okay, than what Kentucky has."
Hold on.
Now we win, I kind of fuck while we go to
SEC. What? What are you talking about, man? Come on, Clayton.
There's one team on the schedule from the SEC that's a weak game.
Right.
Right? And that's Vandy. When you look at the schedule, you're like, okay, that's a win when it's Vandy. You don't look at the schedule, whether it's South Carolina, Missouri, LSU, Florida, Mississippi State. You don't look at those and be like, those are definitely wins. You look at South Carolina, Missouri, and be like, we should win that game.
Right.
We are a better team than they are, so we should win that game. You look at the Florida game. We match up well with Florida. We've played them tough every single time we've played them since Stoops has been here. We got a chance to win that game. With the way that we play football, we got a chance to go down to Georgia and keep that game close or pull it out.
Right.
Same thing with LSU. You got a freaking Louisville fan talking about strength of schedule when you play in the shitty ACC.
Facts.
Whose best team is Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And you just blew a 30-13 fourth quarter lead to Virginia.
Come on, Clayton.
So you want to talk shit about Kentucky's strength of schedule? You're talking about yourself there, dumbass.
Yeah, Clayton's on some bullshit. Come on, Clayton. Damn. Hey, and then we get to your guy who has kind of been of a mainstay for the dumbest shit from Twitter this week, Dickie V.
But it wasn't Dickie V.
But it wasn't Dickie V this time.
But it wasn't Dickie V. So we started the dumbest shit on Twitter with a few of Dickie V's tweets. You know, about the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And then going in on certain coaches, but not going in on other coaches, you know. So Dickie V has had his time. He's got his spot as an inaugural member of the dumbest shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, he tweeted out after the Kentucky game, "Wow, has UK football become a football school? Hey, move over, UK Coach Calipari. Yes, here comes UK Coach Stoops. Now the BMOC, Big Man on campus. Only kidding, in parentheses. But the Wildcats have beaten Florida and LSU the last 2 weeks. Most football experts will say no way they will beat Georgia football."
I'm not listening to you. You only believe in science.
Most experts.
Now we get into the dumb shit. Because we got my man Brian in Kentucky. And I can't believe that we even got him on here. Because it's an account that started in August, has 3 freaking followers.
Right.
But I think he needs to be highlighted in this week's episode.
Oh, well, he's getting highlighted.
He tweeted back to him. No, seriously. UK is a football school. Basketball is a drain on UK athletics. Almost none of the players are from Kentucky, and once they leave, they never contribute anything back to the state.
Huh? What?
When you're a program like Kentucky, most of your basketball players are not going to be from the state that you're in because you recruit nationally. You recruit the best of the best. And if there's a year when the best of the best includes a kid from Kentucky, he's going to get recruited and brought to Kentucky.
Right.
Every player under Coach Cal has come back to the University of Kentucky and has come back to Lexington.
Facts.
Hell, Daniel Orton was just in Lexington with Calipari, and we all know how that relationship ended,
right,
at the University of Kentucky.
Right.
There was a lot of animosity when that when Orton left. So to say that players never come back, and Ramel Bradley has opened up a farm in Eastern Kentucky. So to say players come back and don't contribute anything to the state, it's just a bunch of bullshit.
Right. For one. Brian in Kentucky. I think it's really Kentucky Brian in Indiana.
Kentucky basketball is not a drain on the athletics program. So we all know that. Whitney Lucas said that. Basketball is in no way a drain on UK athletics. That statement shows you've never actually looked at UK athletics revenue numbers. While other schools may depend solely or primarily on football for athletic department revenue, UK has always been helped immensely by basketball.
Cheers, Whitney. So,
this dude who just said that University of Kentucky basketball was a drain on the athletic department.
Brian in Indiana.
Came back with numbers. Actually, I have rough numbers, but basketball brought in $29 million and cost $19 million. So they contributed $10 million to the athletic department. Football brought in $40 and cost $22-ish, contributed $18. Women's basketball cost $5 million and contributed $350K. Time to cut that basketball budget. I don't know if he knows how economics works or how profits work, but when you bring in more than what it costs to run your program, it costs the university nothing. It pulls nothing from your athletic department budget. You add to that athletic department budget. If it costs less to run your program than the amount of money you bring into that program.
Now we win, I kind of fuck how we go to this week, I'm going to fuck that bad back.
So J-Rod, we all know what kind of troll he is for ball fans, said people just be typing shit on here, it's wild. And this was about his first tweet, and he said, am I wrong? Is there a John Wall manufacturing or DeMarcus Cousin Ford? Screw UK basketball, I hope they lose every game. So now we know exactly what he is.
I told you it wasn't Brian in Kentucky, it's Brian in Indiana.
So I tweeted back to him that, what you're saying is it's a program that contributes to the athletic department and isn't a drain, or something similar to that. Or that it just, and he replied, or that it disproportionately costs more than it contributes. Football drives TV deals, and a basketball school, in parentheses, makes it hard to recruit the best football players, so it is draining the success of other athletic programs. Get the f- like,
damn, JD done put the boy in timeouts.
That helped drive TV contracts.
Right. Clueless.
There's a reason why Kentucky basketball is nationally televised on every game in prime time slots. Because it brings in the viewers and it brings in the money.
Right. Dumbest shit.
So I had to set him straight after that again.
Right. I saw that.
And he doubled down on basketball costs football recruits every year. No one is writing SEC TV deals for basketball. You get that or nah, bro? Nah, bro. I don't get that. Because UK basketball is not costing UK football recruits. It's just not. Because you bring in recruits to Rupp Arena for a big game, for basketball, for football, they're in awe. Coach Calipari helps recruit.
Yeah.
Football recruits. They come in and they visit with him when they come in during basketball season. He talks to the football recruits.
Right.
Right? Once again, Kentucky basketball is one of the few basketball programs that drives, that helps drive TV deals.
What, wasn't the whole basketball team just at the LSU game?
Yes. They were. And I believe they were at the Florida game.
Yes, they were.
They got introduced at the Florida game and got a huge cheer at the Florida game.
Yes, they did.
So Brian in Kentucky. I was more fired up earlier today when I first saw this. I had a lot more stuff that I wanted to say. But we don't want to be on here for 3 hours doing this. And I can't be getting that fired up at 8:30 at night when I gotta be going to bed so I can get up at work 4 in the morning. Brian in Kentucky. And like I said, I can't believe I even brought this up when we're talking about a Twitter dude that's been around since August and only had 3 followers. But that string of tweets may have been the dumbest shit that I have ever seen on Twitter. Ever. Period. And we've seen some dumb shit. Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you, because you sent all these, I'll let you finish up with
Mike Chardin. Is that how we want to say his name? Coach Chardin. First of all, he gets Stoops' record wrong in this. Because I believe Stoops is 56-50 overall now.
Coach Chard himself.
Yeah. Stoops is 53-52 overall, 3-4 against U of L, 23-27 against the East SEC, historic week, and 4-14 against the West SEC. That is with going 6-0. I'm excited, but a little early for me to say we can keep this comic going or Stoops is king at UK.
Come on, coach.
Okay. Yes, you look at the overall record and it doesn't jump out at you like, oh my God, he has done so great, right? But Mark Stoops, in the first 3 years that he was here, went 12-24 in the first 3 years. I believe, if I'm remembering right, since that time, he's 44-26. If you can't see the direction that this program is trending and how it's going up, and it's because of Mark Stoops and his coaching staff and the way they built this program. When they came in, they would have been lucky to compete at an FCS level.
Right.
It takes time to build up a program in the SEC that is that far down talent-wise.
Come on, Coach Shark.
And if you're a coach, but I guess anybody can be coach on Twitter, because all you have to do is put it in there.
I'm going to put it in there on mine.
Maybe you would understand that.
Right.
Maybe you would see where this program is going. Because with a tweet like that, it's hard for me to believe that you're a coach of anything.
Right. That's a fact.
And if you can't see that Mark Stoops has done a phenomenal job with Kentucky football, then there's nobody that can help you out.
That's sad.
You're blind. Go find those other dudes on Twitter who do nothing but complain and bitch about the football program and start hanging out with those guys, because you're going to fit in perfectly there, coach.
Coach Shart. And this is the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. Amazing. Harder and harder to do. Some of the things that you read on social media, you're like, what the f- is going on in that person's head?
Oh man. There's a late
not a late entry.
There's a late entry.
Uh-oh.
So it was announced that SEC Nation is going to be in Athens next week.
Right.
Along with College Game Day from ESPN.
Right.
Only the third time they've been to the same place the same weekend.
Right.
So College Game Day tweeted that out. Literally, there's somebody who's got, I'm guessing he's a UCF fan, because he's got Beat Cincy as his name. Imagine picking this over Cincy UCF. No fans in the SEC care about football. I'm done. Shut it down. I'm done.
Full stop.
Are you kidding me?
Damn. He didn't go there, did he?
Like, how did I not see that 6 hours ago when it came out? Why am I just now seeing this now?
That's amazing. That's amazing. Social media, the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, my God. Yes. Even when we were done with the dumbest shit on Twitter, we got some more dumb shit.
Right. Oh, man. But there you have it, folks. The dumbest shit from Twitter this week. Also, Kentucky is now 6-0. And like I said, Jay Hayes said, we're going to whoop Georgia's ass this weekend. And we'll be 7-0, beating the number one team. Kentucky basketball right around the corner. Pro day Big Blue Madness coming up.
Blue-white game. And then the week after that, they start the exhibitions. So yes,
a lot of excitement. Yeah, a lot of excitement going on.
It's going to fly by, and basketball's going to be here. So,
and let me add one more thing. Support Religiously Kentucky Podcast, share, rate, and review. But also now you can get yourself a T-shirt. You can get yourself a hoodie. Go check it out at viralstyle.com, Religiously Kentucky.
You can search us right on there. I'm going to be putting it together as a collection so that we can just get the link out there for all of them. Right. They'll all be together, so you don't have to go to different links for your shirt. But yeah, pick up a shirt.
Get your mama in there one. Get your mama.
Rock that Revenge Tour hoodie.
Because that's what's going to be this year. Yeah. Revenge Tour on the way. I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is
J.D. Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you like this episode, make sure to give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.